Welcome to the Carve a Monster Hunter podcast, where you can bone up on hunting monsters. Episode 92. Hello, I'm your host, SBJ.
Hello, I'm your co-host, Micah.
Oh, okay. All right, good.
I'm just matching your energy.
Oh, is it low? I'm sorry.
No,
did it seem low?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, I was worried.
You got good energy.
Good.
Just try to match it.
That's my nickname. Good energy. Steve is here to talk about Monster Hunter, and Monster Hunter we will talk about.
Perfect.
I was driving this morning back from the courthouse because I was arrested. No, I'm just kidding. Because I needed to pick up my wedding certificate, and I thought to myself, "Where's Monster Hunter stuff?"
Where's the things?
Where are the things? There's no spring event yet. There's no arch tempered Nirgigante yet.
It's been very quiet. We've had an alarmingly quiet Monster Hunter front for since the Witcher stuff, I think, right?
Yeah.
I don't think we've had anything since the Witcher, which was early February.
I don't have a calendar in front of me, but this feels like the longest break between content. And you could argue whether or not you like the content, but I feel like we were getting like one arch-tempered like every other week almost.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I mean the Monster Hunter Witcher content was February 7th.
Okay.
The second half of it was the following week. So it has been over a month since we've seen anything.
You could
anything.
Argue almost 2 months.
Almost 2 months.
Okay, but, you know, instead of putting out content, what if we put out Monster Hunter body pillows?
I'm already on board.
Okay. We got just a little bit of news this week. We got three news articles, and then there was an April Fool's thing that was put out that we'll talk about here. But let's start off
with real news.
Real news, yeah. The realest of news.
Real news. We're only talking about real news on this episode.
Silicon Era, titled Monster Hunter World Greatsword, Dakumakuras?
Dakumakura.
Is that how you say it?
Dakumakura.
Become a reality with enough pre-orders. Now, you would think that this is an April Fool's article, but it was published on April 3rd.
Yep.
Clearly, it has to be real, but it says Capcom has another new product for one of its, quote, e-Capcom limited request products, where limited edition goods are revealed and can actually become products based on the number of pre-orders. The last one for all the Greatsword users out there with Monster Hunter World's Greatsword Body Pillow. The Greatsword Body Pillow is based off a couple Greatswords designed in Monster Hunter World, specifically the Red Wing Greatsword and the Giant Jawblade, which measures 1.5 meters in length. If you're American, I don't know what the math is on that.
Red Wing Greatsword?
Red Wing. So the I believe that is the Rathalos Greatsword.
It looks like in the pictures, it looks like the Azure Rathalos.
Oh, my mistake.
Maybe I'm wrong.
You are probably correct. And then since the Greatsword Body Pillow has a core on this... The Great Sword Body Pillow pre-orders are now available over at eCapcom for 32,000 yen.
Fresh from Japan, give me the conversion.
That's about $300.
Got it.
They will be available for pre-ordering starting June 3rd. Should you meet the pre-order goal, they will ship out on August 26th.
It is just the normal Rathalos Greatsword. I was wrong.
I was right.
$300.
$300. So yeah. So 100 yen is about 80 cents. So three, 32,000, that's five digits. You cut off the last two digits, that comes to 324. Then you magically do the conversion. Yeah, so it's about...
Remove 20%?
Yeah.
Or whatever. Let me tell you, though, it's cool.
Like, why?
It's in a certain way.
It's cool, but how many pre-orders they need? Like, what's the limit for a $300 pillow? What, we need five people? We need six? What, we need 100? Like, what's... For $300, just make it for the one person that wants to pay $300 for a pillow.
Yeah, for real. How much does it... Well, okay, so they have cores in them. I was looking at these on the eCapcom shop.
Oh, they have like
They have like a core in it so that you can hold it. It's a polyester body with a PVC core, so you can hold it up and like swing it like a sword.
Well, you don't want a flaccid pillow.
Right. It does say a haunt. Okay, well, this is Google Translate, the translate feature on Chrome. A haunted hunter who can only enjoy sleeping time and enjoy hunting life. But then under that, it says, caution, do not swing or hit people. Also, this product is not washable.
$300 non-washable pillow. Look, we all know PVC pipe is very expensive.
Yeah.
My local Home Depot is going to charge at least $1.40 for about 6 feet of PVC pipe.
The only thing I can think why it's so expensive maybe is the, like, maybe partially how big it is, and also because it's like a custom shape, it's not just like a normal pillow shape. Like, they're shaped roughly to the form of these greatswords. It's not just like a rectangular pillow with a PVC core in it. They look like the swords. But even then, I don't know that that's quite a lot. It does say it weighs about 1.2 kilograms.
All right. I don't have the math on that, but...
That's about 2.5 pounds.
Okay, all right. Well, there's your pillow news. No other podcast probably bringing you that, so...
It's also about 5 feet. Long.
5 feet. Okay.
So it's pretty big for a pillow. Like,
yeah, but you could go to Target and get a body pillow for $20.
Sure, but is it a great sword? Does it have a core in it? And can I swing it at people? Regardless of whether or not I should.
Let me rephrase. I can go to Target. I can get a body pillow for $20. I go to Home Depot. I get PVC pipe for about $2. Put that inside. And then I'll find an artist. And they will draw a greatsword on the pillow. And then we're done.
There it is. Nice and easy.
That's it. I mean, realistically, though, I bet, and I'm not throwing, I am a little taken aback by the price of said pillow. But if I have seen some very talented cosplayers out there. They probably know how to use a sewing machine.
Yeah.
I mean, at the... unless there's something else we're missing about this pillow, like, there's nothing stopping somebody who even, like, knows how to use a sewing machine and then working with an artist who can draw to draw up a great sword and or onto, like, a sheet and then drawing it on the other side or screen printing it and then having a... What would you? Somebody who sews is sewist. That's not the right word.
Sewist.
Having a sewist cut the shape out, sew that together. Look, I've been to Build-A-Bear.
Let me stop you right there. Okay. This is already. Sorry, this is already way more than I will ever want to do in my life to make something like this. I would rather pay $300 than go through all of that effort.
No, you're just sewing an outline. And once you sew the two sheets together, then you stuff it with a bunch of stuff in, and then you shove your PVC pipe in there, and you're done.
You're just putting a PVC pipe in a pillow that you're custom shaping, and you're screen printing a graphic that you paid for onto the pillow and both sides of it. You got to make sure it's the right size. Got to make sure it's the right weight. It's easy.
Look, I'm now announcing my new Etsy page. Coming soon. Slightly cheaper and smaller PVC pillows. You like Destiny? I'll get some guns made. I'll put PVC pipe in those. You like Devil May Cry? They got swords.
You know, $324 is probably cheaper than what it's going to cost you in legal fees for copyright infringement.
All right.
I would never purchase this for myself because I don't think I need a body pillow. I guess I don't know. Maybe I do need a body pillow in my life. But I feel like I probably don't. This would just be, if I bought this, it would just be novelty, right? Like, I would display it somewhere or, like, not actually use it.
I just need something to quote this.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I do need a body pillow in my life. Probably said by every human at one point.
You never know until you try it, I guess. My wife.
It's when we need to move on.
My wife has a body pillow. It is not. Let me clarify this.
I don't think we do. I think we just leave it there and we move on to the next news article.
She will never forgive me. She's got a Star Wars body pillow that she got at Walmart. It doesn't have like a character on it. It's not like an idol body pillow. It just says Star Wars. It's the least exciting body pillow I've ever seen. But she does like it. She does like that it's like, because usually I don't come to bed until, you know, early hours in the morning. And she said that she likes that it's there, I guess, to, I don't know, maybe I don't need to say anymore.
Yeah, I think you're digging yourself deeper here.
It's getting worse.
Next bit of news is off Game in Guides, GND for short. Very close to D&D, but not. Titled, A New Monster Hunter World PC Update Brings High Resolution Texture Packs. We talked about this a week or two ago, but the version of the game is 16.7.3.5.3, which does bring the new high resolution texture packs to the Monster Hunter World PC version. In addition, the game also received some bug fixes, which solve some of the most common bugs that many players have been reporting. Some of the issues have been fixed. Games such as the game crashing, gun lance, wormstake, cannon bug, and more. Steam users can start downloading the patch now. It is 29.2 gigabytes for the patch, and the main, not 29 gigs of bug fixes. Most of that is just because of the actual texture pack you are downloading to make your game look better. There you go. It came out this
like
week.
Hours ago as of recording,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I'm excited to try it and excited to see if my PC can handle it.
I should download Monster Hunter World on my PC that I don't use for anything but streaming Nintendo Switch.
and chatting,
yeah.
Well, and browsing.
No, I do browsing on my other computer.
Oh, okay, got it.
I mean, unless I'm browsing during stream to prove somebody wrong.
Do it. Yeah, try it.
Or I can have you the 30 gigs of space.
Oh, yeah. Or I
just go over to your house and then I look at it and I go, yeah, that is pretty, and then I come back.
That's it. That's the solution. I'm gonna do it anyways. So.
Yeah, that's right. Last bit of news here is off Anime News Network, which, if you didn't know, their subtitle is the internet's most trusted anime news source.
Yeah. I don't know. I found that site, too, looking at the thing that you're looking at, and no shade to Anime News Network, but I couldn't tell if it was an April Fool's joke or not. And the layout of the website wasn't helping me, so I went and looked for another source.
They have two sources here on the bottom of their website. Wanabe Books and Live Door News. But this is titled, Monster Hunter releases a recipe book for the game's iconic dishes. The Monster Hunter game series released a recipe book on March 30th. The book is titled, Monster Hunter Meal Recipe Book, and features 29 recipes from the iconic roast on the bone to the chef's choice platter. The following five categories are represented: meat, fish, vegetable, rice, dessert. The book is published by Japanese. The book is published in Japanese by Wanabe Books. It will cost 1,600 yen, which comes to about $15. The USD. The recipes are supervised by Palsalia Resorts, which also runs the official Monster Hunter themed Hunter Bar in Shinjuku. I've been to Shinjuku. Never saw the Monster Hunter Bar. Pretty sure on the website it was like a week waiting list to get in, but. Next time.
Oof. Next time.
When
we go.
When we go together.
Yeah.
Eager for more Monster Hunter food, confectionery maker Jekum recreated the roast as a Baumkuchen cakes. We talked about this.
Baumkuchen.
Baumkuchen.
Yeah.
That went on sale March 27th. And then the last bit of the article talks about the actual video game and Iceborne, but there you go. You can get 29 recipes, Japanese only, if you want to import this book.
You know, this is just a quick aside. I forgot until you said that just now that while you were in Japan, I was at an Asian market and I found a Baumkuchen. And I bought it, and I texted you, and I said, we're going to try this when you get back. And I totally forgot, and it's still in my fridge, and it's probably not good anymore.
No, I don't think cake is good that long.
I don't think it lasts that long. There's always next time. I found some screenshots, though, of the book. And it looks neat. It looks cool. I can't read any of it because it's in Japanese. But it looks cool. There's a whole, like, really nice photography for everything. There's, like, a drink that's, like, a health potion.
I would assume, the article doesn't say, but I would assume that some of the recipes here are probably similar to the ones at the arcade.
Or at I'm sure.
Bar.
Yeah. I think, in fact, there's one that's, like a well-done steak dish. There's a photo of it that looks like the well-done steak, and I think it's in, like, a bowl of sauce or soup or something. And I think I recall seeing that on one of the menus for the Monster Hunter Bar. So I'm pretty certain that, like, at least a handful of these came from that. It all looks like generally food from the game, though. Like, the rice dish has, you know, like, seafood and clams and prawns and everything. It's designed to look like the food, which is cool. I would love to try some of this, but I would need a translation desperately.
Yeah. Well, there's also, like, what's it called? Pokemon has a cookbook as well, so doesn't surprise me that another popular Japanese franchise came out with a book. I'm sure there are other ones. I wouldn't be surprised if there's, like, a Final Fantasy cookbook or something like that.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of, like, that. I think there were, like, Lord of the Rings had a cookbook of, Elder Scrolls had a cookbook at one point. It's kind of, like, a thing that people who play video games, I guess, also eat food. Surprise. And maybe they want to make some of the food from the games that they play. They've done a really good job in recent years, I feel like, of making food in games look really good.
Best food 2018.
Best food makes me want to eat it. But we're not in 2018. We're in 2019. And you know what 2019 brings? New games and new Monster Hunter games. Is that a good transition?
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
I could tell if you were setting me up for that or not.
No, that was.
This comes from monsterhunter.fr, or the French Monster Hunter community. Je suis monté. Maybe I said that wrong. I don't know.
Don't ask me.
I can't read any of this, but here is the tweet. There's an article for it. It's all in French. The tweet, however, says, urgent Monster Hunter Victory / Portable V for Nintendo Switch. And there are screenshots of a meeting, or just not screenshots, but it's photos, very stealthily taken photos in a meeting of a slideshow. And the slideshow says, FY 2019, expanding the Monster Hunter brand worldwide, introducing a brand new entry for Nintendo Switch, Monster Hunter Portable V, with a logo, a very edgy looking logo, and Monster Hunter Victory in USA and Europe. And there's a second photo that's a little bit blurrier, and it says Monster Hunter V/ Victory main features. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
This is it. A whole new content to explore called Westan, I think is how it's supposed to be pronounced. New ecosystems to discover. Returning gameplay from Monster Hunter World, as well as underwater combat from Monster Hunter Tri. It's finally coming back. 14 weapon types returning, and one new weapon type, the Chained Harpoon. Of course, for all that underwater combat that you'll be doing. New monsters and fauna alongside returning fan favorites such as Tigrex and Gormagala. Two great monsters. Really excited.
Okay.
Local multiplayer.
Whoa.
And online multiplayer.
Whoa.
Via Nintendo Switch Online. The next slide says, release window Q1 2020 worldwide. Monster Hunter V Portable. Monster Hunter Victory, Nintendo Switch. And there's a there's concept art of a hunter standing in a ravine. And then what appears to be a capture from a trailer with the logo. Amazing. I've been saying for so long how much I want a new Monster Hunter game on the Switch that uses what they've learned with Monster Hunter World. We've both been saying how much we loved underwater combat. Too bad this is an April Fool's joke. I saw this. This was the first thing I saw on April Fool's. Before it could really sink in that it was April Fool's, I got really excited, and I clicked on it, and I was like, this is a scoop. I'm so excited for this. And I went to the replies, and it was all people just laughing. And I felt like they were laughing directly at me, because I could feel the embarrassment as I sat alone in my office by myself, my face turning bright red that this was fake. But really, really well done. They did a very good job.
I did the thing where I just didn't really look or care about the internet that day.
It's a good call, honestly.
I didn't really see like a lot of April Fool stuff.
I didn't either. This was like the first thing that I saw as it changed over to April 1st in the rest of the world. Because technically for us, this was March 31st that this was posted. So this was like the first thing that I saw before I could register in my brain that it was April Fool's. After that, though, I was mad enough that nothing April Fool's could have fazed me. I was on my toes. It looked good, though. They posted some follow-up on their Twitter, on the FR Monster Hunter Twitter, that was just... They first posted a bunch of the screenshots with a drawing of a fish over it that says LOL, which is funny. And then they posted some like follow-up concepts showing how they came up with the logo, which is always cool to see. Even if it's for something fake, I like seeing stuff like that.
Yeah.
They did a good job.
Yeah, I like that kind of stuff. I like the April Fool stuff that is like just like I always liked Blizzard's April Fool stuff because it was so obvious that it was fake that it was just like, oh, this is cute and funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I do there's something that I like about the April Fool's jokes that are so creatively put together that they can fool people, and how much of a like level of detail went into making it seem real. Like that stuff is always interesting to me. It makes me less mad that something isn't. I mean, I don't really get that upset easily anyways. I wasn't really mad about this. I was just disappointed that it wasn't real and amazed at the level of effort that they put into it. But it makes me less upset when I see how much effort was put into something to make it seem totally legit.
Yeah.
Because stuff like that's cool to me. When it's just, when it's like too obvious that it's like, it just comes across as kind of like a bad joke. When it's well thought out, it's like, okay, you got me. This is a good one.
Well, I think that's where we'll wrap up.
Wrap off.
Wrap off. We'll wrap off there. We'll be back next week with more Monster Hunter stuff. Hopefully we get a spring event.
I would assume that we will. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah. I mean, spring started 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We still got time. It's still spring.
It's still spring. We got at least 2 more months. Season's last 3 months.
That's a long... When you put it that way.
Yeah.
It's going to be a while.
All right. If you want to follow us on Twitter, at Micah the Brave for Micah, at Dragging a Lake for me, at Carve Podcast on Twitter. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you can find podcasts, or just carvepodcast.com if you want to get the archives. You probably have noticed last episode and this episode do not have episode numbers in the title. That's because of how new podcast, algorithms or whatever. You don't need the episode in the title because there's metadata that proves that, and we are using a very current podcast provider that provides that metadata. So for the most part, 99% of people probably won't notice, but putting the episode title number in the title is like redundant. Just like putting the name of your show in the title of your episode, also redundant. So older episodes, we will go back and remove the episode number from that. Most of you probably don't care at all, because I'm just going to hit play on the newest episode. But if your podcast app does not support episode numbers, it's probably because it is not updated yet, or it's not a priority for them, but that's probably not great, because podcast apps don't have a lot of priorities. I don't know. Very confusing. Podcasting is wet and wild.
We're living.
We're living. All right, we'll be back next week. Hunters, keep on hunting those monsters.
And keep on carving those monsters, whether they're fake or real. Just carve them anyways.
The Carve is hosted and produced by me, Steve Black Jr. Logo and artwork for The Carve was created by Micah, the co-host of this show. The music by Nicholas Burgess. If you enjoy The Carve, consider leaving a review in Apple Podcasts or tell a fellow hunter about us. If you'd like to support The Carve, you can do so at patreon.com/carvepodcast. For as little as $1 a month, you'll gain access to our Discord to bone up with other hunters who listen to the show. Big shout outs to the Carves Life Powder supporters: Rebecca C, Bastion D, Chris B, Kenley C, Armored, Jin, 8-Bit Core, Snake, Justin C, Gavin M, Kay, Austin B, Carly, and Brandon. Thank you all for listening.